A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line for A Problem Shared. Tony, very good morning to you and thanks for talking to us in the programme.
And a good morning to you, Jerry.
Yeah, Tony, just to start, we were talking about, you know, the person who felt, you know, they were, even though they had some contact with family and all of that, that they were pretty lonely in their lives last week. And we got that observation in from a listener and we talked about it at the start of the programme. And people have been getting in touch with us on it, saying they've been lonely, but they do keep active. They go to mass, they're in different organisations, still get the feeling of being alone, but get through it. They talk to people, they be prayerful, they talk to their neighbours and friends, they don't shy away from it, they're aware from it, they're aware of it. And they said that, you know, just keep in touch with people, keep talking about these issues, and that's one way to deal with it and pick yourself up, despite the fact of still admitting that they feel lonely at times.
Yeah, I think everybody in the world at some stage in their life feels lonely, but certainly when we're getting on, when we're over 60 and we're probably living on our own or whatever, that these are prime times for that sort of loneliness to kick in. Basically, I think, you know, reading that letter here in front of me as well, you know, this individual is doing a lot of right things. They're not letting it get under their skin. They're involved in the church and helping with different things. And that's exactly what you do. The one thing I would add to that is that learn something new every year. Introduce one or two new subjects, something that you haven't tried before, or some angle or whatever. And, you know, we never stop learning. And if we do stop learning, that contributes to the sort of emptiness that we call loneliness. And, you know, by keeping our mind, as it were, focused, we are essentially a lone creature. The human being is born from another human being, but basically once they're sort of reach any sort of age where they're cognizant of their own abilities, etc., they begin to build their own life. And then later in life, we begin, you know, to go down the hill where we're losing friends and we're losing contact. And basically, understanding what the human spirit is about, and you know that we will die alone. It's a nasty thing to say to anybody.
A terrible thought, but a reality. Shall we say?
Absolutely. And what helps a lot there is having a belief system. I don't want to mention the word, but I have to. Religion is a very important thing, you know, in keeping somebody, as it were, focused in the right way. And religion, for me, is taking a completely new sort of line, as it were. All religions are, because science is beginning to catch up with religion, or beginning to coming into focus with it. You know, the latest physics, the quantum physics, as they call it, or quantum mechanics, is looking at, you know, creation in a totally different fashion. It's a sort of swirling patterns of energy. And this is very much in keeping with religious teaching. And, you know, so as that science advances more and more, it's beginning to, as it were, back up what was written by Christ, by Muhammad, by Moses, and all the prophets down through the ages, that, you know, there is more to the human being. And by recognizing that fact is a great help, but also by focusing, as I say, on learning something new, because it's the ability to develop our brain and our thinking power that is the most important thing. So if we leave that go slack, that sense of emptiness, that sense of loneliness can really hit us hard. And by going the opposite, by taking up as many things as we can focus on, by getting involved in whatever, it can be sport, art, it can be men's sheds or whatever, it can be anything that focuses us, but then by always looking to read or study something new, take up a new hobby, whatever, they're the greatest preventers of that loneliness.
Yeah, and that's the situation. A listener got in touch earlier on the discussion, Tony, and said, look, as one gets older, people you know, friends of yours, they pass away. You may also not be as active as you were because of health reasons, not able to get out as much, but you should try and keep interested in lots of things if you're able, is the person's suggestion.
Absolutely, 100% correct, yeah.
And there is a matter inside of it as well. Yeah. Yes, go on, Tony.
I was just going to say, the more interest we have, the more things we're interested in, and I don't mean just football and the news and that sort of stuff, but, you know, getting involved in art, sport, science, whatever that interests you, and keeping your mind active is a very important, in my book anyway.
Yeah. Look, a survey done a couple of years ago found that 20% of people in Ireland reported feeling lonely most or all of the time. That's above the EU average of 13%. Now, a recent study found that some of the highest rates of loneliness in Europe are found among young adults, not older ones. That could be a commentary or reality of maybe our technological society. We're supposed to be more connected than ever to our devices, but actually that's not real connection, is it?
Face-to-face. Loneliness in young people is more isolation than anything else. And if they feel isolated, that but most young people have enough interest that they're in school, they're learning all the time, they're involved in sports or art or whatever. And so it's very unusual for young people to get into that. But if they feel isolated for whatever reason, then that adds to the effect.
Yeah, and that is part of it. All right, Tony. Okay, we're going to talk more. We've more queries to get to. Any other suggestions from listeners into and how to grapple or how you dealt with the issue of feeling lonely? Get them into us now. We'll have more with Tony after we take these. Oh, no, actually, we won't. We will get to our next query now because we have time for it. Tony, a listener gets in touch with this one. I would like to get some opinions and points of view on the whole business of gossip. Many of my friends and family seem to have nothing better to talk about except other people. And it's not just talking about them. It's cutting them down into little pieces. I find it very upsetting and offensive, but I don't know what to do about it.
Gossip... Basically, I firmly believe it's a real evil. Now, I don't mean the sort of poor old Maggie, she's not well. That's not, you know, it's not vicious gossip. It's talking about somebody, but it's when it gets into sort of that old fecker, you know, and it can grow. It grows in society. It's almost addictive. In the conversation, if we start talking about somebody, and it is, as I say, one of the great evils of human beings. I suppose we're blessed with the ability to communicate. We have language, as most creatures don't, and as such, that allows, you know, that, as it were, evil. I use the word evil carefully. You know, it is a very negative, very harmful thing to get into. And, you know, the in the letter there, they ask, you know, what they don't know what to do about it. Well, if you're in a group and they're, as it were, cutting the neighbours to pieces, you know, you have two choices. One, you can speak up and say, well, I really believe that what we're doing now is harmful, it's not good, and I will excuse myself. Or, you know, simply walk out, you know, say, make an some excuse and leave. Because it's habitual. Gossip is a habitual thing. Very much among the Irish. I grew up in a very gossipy society in Cork. And it can be at times very harmful. And it is not, you know, on the sheer language end of it, it's not good for human beings to get involved in such negative thinking, because that sort of thinking grows. Society allows it to, as it were, build up, and you can find yourself, you know, very quickly being involved in saying rather unpleasant things about people.
Yeah.
And
but if you call it out, Tony, if the person here calls it out and says, right, does that not get them into a row or a fight, or would that be, or is there a more gentler way of not getting involved or disengaging from that sort of discussion?
It's how you call the thing out. I mean, basically, you know, if you kind of stand up and you, I think this is wrong and you should all stop, you know, of course you'll get a kick up the behind and you deserve it, because that's not the way to approach something like that. But if you say, you know, I think we're probably doing something that is harmful in society, so either we stop or I'll, you know, find something else to do. Or it's the tone of voice and how we deliver our messages. And that's another thing that society has, which is, you know, as the human race evolves, we'll have to change how we communicate our strong beliefs and wishes. If we communicate them, you know, with a loud voice and, you know, almost we have a megaphone and we're telling them, stop this, and, you know, that is totally the wrong thing to do. And we'll, you know, it's every bit as dangerous in its own way as gossip is. But yeah, it's how you deliver the message.
Yeah, and that's important. And is it maybe an issue of how you disengage is maybe just change the subject, find a way to change the subject onto something more positive and direct the talk away from gossiping about the neighbours?
Oh yeah, if you're skilled enough and the sort of conversation allows it, that's the best way of all, really, you know, steer it away. But occasionally with friends that you can talk to, that you have a base on which you can say things, you know, you can say, look, I really feel gossip is dangerous, and sometimes it can be evil, because it can cause people to do things. We see on the news there constantly people being, you know, their homes being attacked or whatever, they being attacked because of gossip. And so it's a communication style.
Okay, we're getting more people suggesting things to deal with loneliness, Tony. Doing surveys, reading, keeping brain active, especially in the winter, is a great help. That's a good suggestion for wintertime, particularly when you can't get out, when it's darker earlier and you feel more hemmed in and lack of context.
And the internet. I mean, I do most of my reading on the internet. And, you know, okay, there's a kind of, you can get stuck into it. You can, of course, but it's a great communication thing. And as well as that, if you have a good conversation group, which, you know, you'll get on various WhatsApp and Facebook and various things, you know, where a group of people are discussing something. And anything that keeps the brain active will help.
Yeah, and with that in mind, Tony, two final comments on this. A texter wrote, says, a quote from Carl Jung, loneliness does not come from having no people around you, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to you. Really, sharing what matters to you means risking rejection, judgment and indifference. It's easier to stick to small talk. Surface level is safe, but surface level is also lonely. So it's about how you communicate, I suppose, with people as well. And a Tralee caller says, and we might have to come back to this next week, Tony, I've attended tendency to catastrophize. There is good reason for this, as last year or so has been very difficult for my family. At the moment things are quiet, but I always worry it won't last. What I find helps me is taking time out during the day to do Wordle. It focuses my mind wonderfully. I always feel so satisfied when I guess the word, and even if I don't, it's taken my mind off things. So that's a good suggestion. We'll come back to that one, Tony. Thanks again for talking to us on the phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the key one. Brilliant.